You're now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flips.
PodAwful.net.
I have control of your TV set. Are you receiving me?
Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool Party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for little lions that hold your cell phone while they charge. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razorman Cumulus the Third.
Hey, I'll take that. Sounds like a cute episode, talking about little lions holding your phones while they charge.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be cute.
I found something else that's cute, and I'm sending it to you right now.
I'm excited.
Because we're not in the same room.
Not this time, sadly.
Yeah, not this time. Did you get what I sent you?
Oh, I love it. This is... It's fedorable, for one.
Literally, though. It's fedorable fashion, right?
Yeah, it's only $12. I might get one of these. This is... Like, you know, you go to the dollar store, they have those little, like, felt posters of, like, dolphins or lions, and it comes with, like, six markers, and then you color it in. It's one of those... but in the shape of a fedora, so you can wear it afterwards.
And who's on the front of it?
A little lady.
Right. Because that makes more sense, right? Like, if anybody's going to be watching My Little Ponies, wouldn't you think that she's the demographic?
I would think so.
Okay. Just wanted to clear the air on that. And the name of this is indeed Fedora-Bull Fashion.
Yeah.
It exists. So where's your big money? Are you leaving the show or are you cashing in on this? What's going on?
I'm going to be cashing in. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be rich enough to, to live on a big farm, a big ranch in Utah. Like I've always wanted.
That's all you ever talk about.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've made the big time between this and being mentioned on Two Broke Girls, rather. I've made it. We're in the lexicon now.
And there's a pretty great comment about it, too. Like a customer review that was extremely helpful, apparently.
Let's see what they have to say.
I don't know if we have time for all of it.
Well, I do like the title. It says, "My daughter loves it." M
right?
apostrophe daughter.
So, yeah, pretty great thing. Congratulations on getting Fedorable into, I don't know. I wouldn't really call this a toy. I guess a fashion industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother hit me to this. Sent me a picture. I think my niece might get one of these. I'm not sure.
Nice.
But yeah, even the description of this, when it gives you the bullet points about what's most important about this product, doodle the most fedorable hat ever and wear it proudly. And yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I'm glad this exists. We did it, everybody. We made it a thing.
I forgot our studio audience could applaud for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
That's a lot of fun. Speaking of weird toys, though, you also clued me into this. What do you think about the Evil Stick? I know all the kids are going crazy for it.
I'm going crazy for it. This news story broke from our hometown of Dayton, Ohio, which a past guest of the show, Phil, pointed out is probably the only place this story could have happened. As surreal and subversive and unimportant as it is, it's a weird story, right?
Yeah.
This dollar store owner doesn't see a problem with selling this toy that looks like it's a fairy magic wand intended for young kids. It has like a big star, rounded edges on the top of it, and a handle, and it's pink, and it has this like silver foil on the front of it. If you read the calligraphy on the box of this toy, it does indeed say Evil Stick, but it's written out in in some very Lisa Frank, I guess, or very cursive, elegant, pretty writing. So you wouldn't really think it to be evil. But then when you pull back the foil, there's a small image of a demonic young girl slitting her wrists with a knife, like kitchen knife, and like grinning at the viewer. And then like the music that plays is very, it's that creepy laugh thing, like at the end of Thriller.
Oh, that's scary. That's the scariest part. They didn't mention that to me.
They played a few times in the news clip, like the film clip from WHIO in Dayton.
I like those guys.
Yeah. Getting the hard-hitting news stories.
Yep.
Like evil sticks. Would you get an evil stick now that you know more about it?
I would. I know that everybody on my Facebook feed is like talking about how they're on their way to the dollar store to get evil sticks. But I guess the guy's sold out since then.
Oh, damn.
Because that's what happens when, you know, jerky moms complain about cool toys. They just get really popular and sell out, and then everybody gets one.
And the store owner knew that. That's what I like about this story is when he was being filmed on camera, he didn't say, I'm not going to sell this because I'm on the news about this toy now. And it's going to sell out as a collector's item. He was just very blunt about, well, she did not read that this said evil stick. I don't know what to tell her. We don't take returns.
I like that. I respect that. And yeah, it like you should probably look like, I mean, it does have like a lot of hearts and like flowers and little dudes on it and stuff. But like it also does say evil stick pretty prominently, like. If you don't want your kids to have an evil stick, don't buy them an evil stick.
Yeah, the packaging might be covert. It is subversive. But I think that's a huge sell in today's society. I really wish I would have known that was a thing. I don't know. I'm going to have to be more on the lookout for creepy dollar store items like this.
Yeah, yeah. There could be tons of them for all we know. There could be like all kinds of toys with, like, all kinds of people killing themselves inside of the toys. We're going to have to look harder.
You know what this reminds me of, though, is the SNL sketch, the classic one with Dan Aykroyd as the toy manufacturer who's really sleazy and gets interviewed by, I forget which actress it was. It used to be Candace Bergen. I think it changed to somebody else. But he'd be interviewed about these different toys that he would sell, like bag of glass or bag of glass. It was just a bag of glass, shards of glass.
I vaguely remember that.
And Johnny Switchblade, where the knives pop out of his wrists and the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I remember
and
that.
Teddy bear chainsaw, where it was like a chainsaw would come out through the teddy bear's stomach. And he would always try to explain away everything. It was really funny.
That sounds good. Yeah, I would like to see more dangerous toys. I mean, why not? As long as it's packaged correctly and says evil right on the goddamn thing, who cares?
Yeah, yeah. Right? That'd be good.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish that I still lived in Dayton. That way I could go pick one of these up. But they probably would have sold out pretty quick, as I guess everybody has that same idea.
I think so. They're just hanging magnificently up in people's basement apartments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ghouls in Dayton. I think that's the kind of stock that we come from.
That's true. Number one ghoul town in America, probably. A lot of Bunny Games fans, I guess.
Home of our greatest celebrity, Dr. Creep. Mm-hmm. That's not even a play on words. That's an actual person.
Yeah, he's our most famous person, followed closely by Jonathan Winters. And he's dead. So that's how ghoulish he is.
Oh, man. Well, they're both dead. So they actually both cashed in their ghoul card.
Yeah, that's how.
To become ultimate ghouls.
That's how ghoulish Dayton is. All our most famous people are dead. The Wright brothers, rotting corpses. That's how ghoulish they've become.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably only skeletons by now.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine those flying up over your head.
That would be too scary.
Show.
I would hate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Evil Stick's pretty fun. I like Evil Stick. I like that this, you know, like you said, this guy's just like pretty chill about it. He's just like, yeah, we got Evil Sticks. Come get them if you want them.
they're flying off the shelves.
Yeah,
we're gonna because keep... of naive moms and you know, ghouls. Our ghoul population in Dayton is going to make sure these go out like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm. Did you follow the story about the dumb lady who wanted Toys R Us to stop selling Breaking Bad toys recently?
No, but why are they Breaking Bad toys? Who is that for?
I really don't know. I couldn't imagine, like, I don't know, I collect, like, a lot of weird toys. Like, I got some Lemon Grab stuff, you know, and I got,
you got,
like,
that Patrick Bateman action figure.
Yeah, I got that Patrick Bateman. I got, like, a ton of, like, Vegeta stuff, thanks to Mr. Frisbee here. And, like, you know, I got some weird stuff, but, like, I couldn't imagine having, like, a Breaking Bad toy, like, just, like, a G.I. Joe shaped like Walter White. Like, I don't... I mean, maybe if you're, like, the kind of dude who just likes collecting stuff and, like, not taking it out of the package and, like, just putting it on a shelf somewhere, which I have some stuff like that that's still in the package, you know. But, I don't know. It's, like, fun stuff. It's like Invader Zim stuff. Like, Walter White's just a dude. Like, what kind of enjoyment would you get from looking at that every day on your shelf?
Yeah, what kid wants that? That's my thing. But I guess if dollar stores are selling evil sticks, you might as well sell the most ghoulish character on cable programming probably to ever exist.
Probably
towards kids anyway.
But, well, I mean, that's the thing. Toys R Us has, like, from what I understand, I haven't been to one in a long time, but they have, like, a sweet, like, adult section where it's, like, sex toys and dildos and stuff. I mean, where it's, like, you know, Walter White toys and, you know, like, you can get, like, the what's it called? All, you know, like, the alien toys and... the Escape from New York toys and RoboCop toys, like all the like cool stuff the kids are collecting, you know, the adult kids.
Like an adult section, just like in a porn store.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. do you have to go behind like a CD curtain or something to get to this? Or?
Yeah, it's like an American flag tapestry you have to walk through.
Great.
Or beads. Sometimes it's beads.
That sounds sensual.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they have to chime in to America's growing adult-child population. The typical throwaway is man-child, but, I mean, let's be real here. Like, there's a lot of people, regardless of gender, who are real into collecting toys,
mm-hmm.
who are adults. It's like, I mean, you mentioned yourself. You got a few. I know I've got a few. Definitely have both editions of David Bowie from Labyrinth. The one that comes with Hoggle. Nice. Those are stowed away somewhere.
That's good stuff. I recently just bought Labyrinth on Blu-ray, so I understand that. It's not a toy, but, I mean, I like it.
How's it look on Blu-ray?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, it's a long movie. And a lot of the songs, if you love the songs, you're probably already familiar with it. So I don't blame you. The thing you can look out for, though, is all the times that Bowie's face appears in the background. It's kind of like the Mickey Mouse face or logo at Disneyland. You know how there's, mm-hmm. they're kind of like Easter eggs throughout the park where can you find all the Mickey Mouse hidden things, I guess, hidden logos? You can do that with Bowie's face in Labyrinth. He appears in shrubs. He appears in rocky mountainsides. He appears in just like the bottom corner of your screen.
Man, that's pretty cool. I've noticed the shrubs one before in my day.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them like that, or maybe like five. I don't know. It might not be worth it. You might just look them up online and be like, oh, and then just enjoy the film.
I'll look it up. But yeah, speaking of this thing where like the kids don't want to grow up, they want to play toys. They want to go to Toys R Us.
That was their jingle, by the way, as a store. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. A lot of people took that advice, and now they're banking off of it.
Mm-hmm. That's why the most important cultural argument we're having in 2014 is video games.
Yeah.
That's directly related.
Yeah.
And that's why we land a rocket on a comet, and all anybody can talk about is the t-shirt that the guy was wearing at the time when he announced that we landed a rocket on a comet.
What does t-shirt say? Something like it's really about ethics and gaming journalism or something?
No, it's I haven't been paying too much attention to it. I just saw like the headline in the picture, but apparently like one of the dudes who's in charge of doing that rocket thing, he like at the press conference, he was wearing a t-shirt that had like dominatrix ladies on it. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a dumb shirt, but everybody's like real up in arms about it. But it's like he launched, you know, a rocket on a comet. Like, he can wear whatever the hell shirt he wants. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Everybody talks about how much we should like science these days and how nobody likes science. All these idiots out there don't care about science. They only care about football. And this guy, he's out there caring about science, and now everybody's mad at him. So, I don't know. You can't please everybody, Mr. Frisbee.
If it's a dumb shirt, then it's probably not awesome. I thought it was something more, I don't know, awesome.
Well, it's,
but the way you're describing it probably isn't good, I guess.
Well, it's not the kind of shirt I would wear out. It's, it's like one of those, like, it's like a Hot Topic shirt. It's, or like a Spencer's shirt. It's just like a button-up shirt that's got sexy ladies on it. I don't know. It's pretty, it's the kind of thing that no one would bat an eye at if you saw him out. But I guess because he's a scientist, he needs to be held up to different standards. I don't know.
I'm not sure what standards, because, again, we've lost sight of how important science is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also I think people are mad at him because he's a scientist that is actually doing science and is not a scientist who spends all his time on Twitter talking about Christopher Nolan movies. And that's the kind of science we like as a culture.
Whoa. Shots fired.
Shots fired. We're coming at you.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, that's the kind of science that people like. You're going to be cute and do a little TV show where you challenge the creationist museum guy to a fight, or you're going to talk about Christopher Nolan movies and Gravity on Twitter. Those are the kinds of science we like. We don't like this kind of science where we land on a comet and then discover the origins of the universe. That shit's played out. But hey, if you can poke some holes in the plot of Interstellar, well then, you're a real scientist.
I think it is played out, though. I mean, NASA doesn't get very much funding at all. No one really cares, right?
No one cares.
And people do care more about movies, so why not? You know, I read through those critiques, and yeah, I did not read any of his tweets about the comet landing. And that wasn't even us. Those were Europeans. How does that make you feel? Does that rub you the wrong way?
No, like I said, my new favorite podcast in the world is, I thought they were English, but apparently they're Irish. So I don't know. Maybe I'm coming around to these Europeans. They're landing on comets. They're coming out with podcasts. I like, you know, they can do it all.
What's the podcast you're listening to? Cause I'm listening to some new podcasts too.
Well, I'm sadly behind on all my podcasts aside from this one because I can't listen to them at work. But I have become obsessed with this one. It's called the Attitude Era Podcast. It's a show where three apparently Irish gentlemen get together and review all the pay-per-views from the Attitude Era in the WWE, and it's pretty great.
Is this recent, like from the launching of WWE Network?
I think they started before the network started. Well, and they're Irish, so they don't have the network. Because Yeah, they don't have the network in Europe yet. So I guess they've just been watching, like, old dubs and like YouTube videos and stuff.
Okay.
And they
that sounds all right.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I've been getting some suggestions from a friend of mine. Been listening to this one called The Read. It's fairly popular. It's two people who rant about stuff every week and in the sort of fashion where you read something, where you're coolly witty about it. And it'd probably be like modern day. I don't know. It's not coming to me. Never mind. Anyway, they're very witty, very funny, very mean in a delicious way.
I like that.
Yeah. Pretty good.
That sounds
pretty good stuff.
I was thinking about starting a podcast coincidentally called The Read, where we just review items from Duane Reade's, you know, the pharmacies on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
That's what we were going to call it, The Read. You know?
I got a lot of, postcards from that pharmacy that I want to talk about.
Yeah. I got some new toothpastes from there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible joke that I made about The Read.
That was pretty bad. I thought you were going to go, like, it's a podcast where we just read silently for maybe an hour.
Oh, that would be good. I would like that.
And it'd just be like coughing and sniffling and like, oh. And that's about as most you would get from it.
Page turns.
Yeah. Maybe some light sleeping if it's a boring book. You'll hear somebody like breathing really heavily because they're sleeping.
That would be good.
Another one I've been listening to is actually out of Memphis. It's Black Nerd Power, and it's three or four folks that get together. One of them's a comedian who travels sometimes, but that one's good. A lot of fun. A lot of like conventions. They actually get to go to conventions and do live broadcasts from there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What else are you listening to?
Get Out the Room. That's a horror movie podcast.
And they don't care for the word of?
No, because they're quoting a line from a movie.
What movie?
I don't know. I really don't know. But they played at the beginning where it's this guy yelling, get out the room. Yo, get out the room. Like he's reacting to watching a film. And I don't know which one it is. Does that sound familiar to you?
I think it's from Silence the Lambs.
Oh, I see what you did.
Okay. No, that sounds good. I'm being a butthole. That sounds nice, though. I would listen to that. I like horror podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Silence the Lambs.
You've seen Silence the Lambs?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Silence of the Lambs is insanely overrated.
Oh, I wanted to bring this up, actually. Not specifically Silence of the Lambs, but these horror movies. I had kind of a slow lunch break the other day, and I went through almost all of your Letterboxd reviews.
Oh, nice.
I read all of them like a real creep.
I appreciate that. I like that.
And I judged everything. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting, though. I like your capsule reviews for a lot of them. I've seen many of the films, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But for the ones I hadn't seen, I was like, well, I guess I trust this. So it's a good read. Everybody should go see Parker's. Everybody should see Parker's Letterboxd. I don't know why I keep adding verbs and prepositions to this shit.
I like it.
Everybody should see Parker's Letterboxd. He's got a lot of reviews. You've got, what, like 1,500?
Something like that. I watch a lot of movies lately.
It's a fuck ton of films. So you have plenty to go through. And, yeah, a couple surprises, too.
What are you surprised by, Mr. Frisbee?
Well, the one I'm going to bring up anyway was talking about Psycho. You brought this up recently, and we talked about it in L.A. for a bit, too. You have this new love affair with the movie Psycho, Hitchcock Psycho, the remake. And I just read a passage about it in this book called Real Terror, A Friend Let Me. It's by David – I'm going to butcher this name – David Konow. He did a book on metal also. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, though. Anyway, it's this encyclopedic history about horror movies that starts with Universal Monsters. A little bit before then, too. Like, actually, it's Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Sweet.
And he just got done I just got done reading his covering of Psycho. And John Carpenter, who, by the way, has an album coming out in 2015. Are you excited for that?
I am. Like, I am. Yeah.
Me too. I'm super excited for this. Horror legend. Well, not horror legend. I guess Halloween legend and filmmaker. Legendary filmmaker John Carpenter, who's well known for making his own music for his films, is doing an album that will be released next year. It's up on SoundCloud, like one of the tracks is. Or something like that. You can do a search for Carpenter 2015 album and you can probably find what it is.
I think you were correct in calling him a horror legend, by the way.
Yeah. He's influenced enough, as much as Hitchcock is, because what he says about Hitchcock's Psycho is that a lot of his suspenseful thrillers were taking place in kind of an inaccessible way. But Psycho is unique in that it deals with average people, not high society. And it was made on such a low budget. And had the highest response probably of any of his films. It's the most recognizable. And Carpenter has this very lucid quote, like he usually does about anything he does with movies or anything he says about movies, where he says, oh, hold on. I got it right here. He says that Psycho is the first modern horror film because it so strikingly took horror out of Gothic romanticism. And it wasn't a vampire, a werewolf, or an old castle or anything. You had the motel in the front and the kind of Gothic-looking house in the back, kind of like passing the torch from old Gothic romanticism to modern horror. And the fact that, like, this girl gets killed for nothing, essentially. Not for, like, money or anything like that, just gets killed for nothing, was the real shock. And he says that was a signpost that everybody followed. And I don't know. We don't really talk about Psycho or any really old movies, or any old movies for that matter, often. So that's interesting. And I like Carpenter's quotes on shit. I mean, he's like 99% right about everything. Movie related, I guess. I don't know much about what else he says.
He thinks that Kurt Russell is a sweet bro. I bet he's right about that.
I'm telling you, 99%. Like, he probably that's such a high accuracy. Like, I'm only going on the basis that nothing can be 100% in this sort of... I'm trying to bring scientific coolness back, and I'm not succeeding.
You're going to have to get a shirt with dominatrixes on it.
I guess. I was trying to find that, and I couldn't see what it was.
Oh, I'll try to find it for you. It's around. They're talking about it. But, yeah, he's right. That's, like, such a... Like, I hate old horror movies because it is just like... Hey, I'm a traveling wanderer. Can I stay at your castle for the weekend? And the guy's like, yeah, but don't go in the basement. And then, of course, the guy goes in the basement. And there's a mummy or whatever the hell it is. And it's just so stupid. Like, it's the same horseshit. Just dudes searching castles by candlelight and skeletons. Just always skeletons and horseshit. I hate all that old horror movie stuff because it's dopey. Like, it's all weird fantasy, but... I could imagine going to a desert, hotel and being killed by the guy who runs it. Like, that's real life shit. So I find that much scarier than, you know, oh, you've stumbled upon my secret experiment to put a brain of a man into a chimp. Oh God, it's scary. I'm Bela Lugosi. My movies suck.
Yeah. Bela Lugosi probably sucks. I only know him from Ed Wood and from, Dracula. But I haven't really seen much of his other stuff.
I'm going to be honest with you. Dracula sucks. He's dressed like a waiter the whole time. And that's not scary. And he just looks at dudes and they're like, oh, boy. I just watched The Mummy, the original.
Karloff Mummy?
Yeah, I watched that. And there's no mummy in it. There's like 2 seconds of a mummy. And then it's just Boris Karloff wearing a fez hat and pretending to be some kind of scary man. And then at the end, there's like 2 dudes who are like, we got to go stop this mummy from, you know...
terrorizing that girl. I read your review about this.
Oh, okay.
But go on, because listeners might not have read it.
Yeah, he's like, going to terrorize a girl and marry her. Because that's like all the, you know, that's like what all the old monster movies want. They all just like want to find a girl to marry her, you know? That's like the plot of all those fucking things. And then so the guys get there, and then Boris Karloff goes, hey, you shouldn't mess with me. And he pulls out a knife, and then the guys just go, no! And like they recoil in horror. And then they're incapacitated for the rest of the climax because Boris Karloff showed them a knife. It's so stupid. Like, all those horror movies from the olden days are so stupid, except for The Invisible Man, which is sweet.
Yeah, I mean, do you relate that character, though, to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Or why does what makes Invisible Man special?
Because he has sweet goals. He just wants to cause havoc and chaos. He's not trying to marry the reincarnated soul of his old wife from the old country. He's not trying to, you know, curse people or whatever. Like, he's invisible. And being invisible, he realizes he can do whatever the hell he wants. So he decides to do whatever the hell he wants. And I think that's pretty cool and modern. I think that's rad.
He goes mad with power.
Mm-hmm. He's got the power.
Mm.
And he needs the women to marry. Although I think in the Universal Monster movie, he does try to marry a woman or something, but I ignored that part.
Yeah, it gives you the impression that there was like 3 or 4 producers who were mainstays for those monster movies. Like, we can't let these guys just do anything anymore. They just want to suggest that people get married. So let's just throw them on these monster films. So they have something to do. We owe people a favor. Like, these are people's kids that we owe favors to. So we'll have them work on the monster movies. And their only suggestions were, have the monster get married. Get them married. People love a happy ending. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. That's all it was about. They all just wanted to get married. Dracula wanted to get married. Frankenstein wanted to get married. Mummy wanted to get married. And then somehow that made them monsters back in the old days. You think that would make them heroes? People were supposed to get married back then.
And then after World War II, they all wanted to meet Abbott and Costello.
That's true. They all wanted to meet Abbott and Costello, and they all wanted to start working for the CIA. There's a goddamn Invisible Man movie. I haven't seen it yet. I saw the Invisible Man versus Abbott and Costello. It sucks. It's about how the
Like, really?
Yeah.
This sounds like such a promising title.
Abbott and Costello meet up with the Invisible Man, and they, like, I don't know, try to convince him to, like, become a fucking boxer or something. It's real dumb. They get mixed up with the mafia. It sucks. But and then there's one after that where the Invisible Man joins the CIA and, like, tries to stop Hitler, which, I don't know, it could go either way, I guess, but I do like it when people try to stop Hitler. I guess I should check that one out before trash-talking it, but it's probably stupid, too.
It sounds like one of those attempted jokey movies that they'd make today, like FDR, American Badass.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's FDR, but he's against Nazi werewolves. Red! I mean, it looks good on paper and probably when you're really baked with friends, but it doesn't really fly, turns out. Who knew, you know?
Yeah, there are some parts of that movie that are funny, but it's would definitely be better if it was 45 minutes long.
Yeah, that'd probably be it. It needs to be much shorter.
Yeah.
I do like when that host, when they have to stop by at a house, the guy who owns the house is crying belligerently when they leave. It's done for comedic effect. I'm not just laughing at people's tears like a real ghoul. The guy goes excessive with it. It goes way too long, and I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. So on the Letterboxd, was there a review of mine that you read that you were like, this motherfucker?
He got it so wrong. God, nothing's coming to mind right now. Well, I'd have to look up what you did. I didn't take any notes on it.
That'd be funny if you did.
Yeah, like you can hear me flipping through pages like, well, since you bring it up.
I didn't make these notes for the show or anything, just for my own personal information.
No, I would have to look them up. How about I do that? I'll look them up for next show where I give my best and worst. But
all right, sounds good.
Okay.
I'll do the same for your Letterboxd, which has like two reviews on it.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I'll figure out my favorite and least favorite of the two that you did.
I know. I should have kept going with it because I like doing it. But then I don't know. I just gave up. I gave up all of it.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
You threw it all away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What is your Letterboxd account anyway so people can find you?
I think it's probably Final Parker or Ultimate Parker or something. Let me check. Let me just go there real quick. Let me see if I got any new likes. Maybe
I have you as letterboxd.com/ultimateparker.
There you go.
And you appear just like your Twitter profile. Yeah.
Be my friend. I like Letterboxd so much. It's my favorite social media website.
Absolutely it is. 1600 films. 1602 technically, but 1600 films you've reviewed. 428 this year. Which makes sense because you watch like about 3 a week and, well, I mean, that's more than one film a day. That's very excessive.
I watch a lot of movies. To be fair, like 700 of those films are junk food dinner movies, so it's like almost half.
Mm.
Junk food dinner's pretty, you know, it keeps me readily watching.
Yeah. Junk food dinner keeps you up to date. Mm-hmm. Keeps you going.
So yeah, follow me on Letterboxd because I love it. I just love it so much. Sometimes I'll watch a movie just so that way I can talk about it on Letterboxd. Not even because I want to watch the movie.
Mm.
Like the movie Pompeii, the most recent one I watched. That movie stinks, Mr. Frisbee. Don't watch it.
Pompeii?
Yeah.
Is it about like the island?
Yeah, it's about...
Or I mean the mountain.
Yeah. I think it was on a peninsula. But yeah. It's directed by the Resident Evil guy. And somehow Mia Jovovich is not in it, so that made it worse. And I don't know, it's pretty dull. It's like, you know, like that Starz show, like Hercules or Spartacus or whatever it is that like looks super cheap and it's like sword and sandals crap. Have you seen
that? Wasn't that done by Sam Raimi or is that a different one?
Yeah, he produces it actually.
Okay.
But it looks real cheap. I hear it's a good show, but it like looks super cheap. Like it's all like the cheapest green screens and stuff. That's kind of what this movie was.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly. But I don't know. A lot of dudes get their arms cut off. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah, sounds good.
I like that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of liking stuff, do we have any emails, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, we do. This week we've got an email from Gabe from Schlock Talk. He says, hey, guys. Well, it's titled This Week's Show. And he says, hey, guys. There was about 8 seconds of silence before the show started up this week. Did not know that.
Oh. That's my mistake.
Check that out.
I really blew it.
You blew it, capiche? But he goes on, says, so naturally, I assumed you guys had died. Turns out, finding out you lot were in fact still alive was only the second best thing on the podcast, because Chris Hobo is a friggin' genius. Gabe from Schlock Talk. Yeah, we had Chris Yolo on last week. And, yeah. He's a young one.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. He seemed like a cool guy. He didn't really, like, care one way or the other for most stuff.
Yeah, for stuff and junk, he didn't really care. Yeah.
He did think some stuff was trash. Mostly us, I think, if I remember correctly.
And other stuff was okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll come back on. I don't know.
I hope so. I'll ask him. You know, I think I was on Rotten Rantings this week. Or will be next week. It was already recorded, but for the sake of this conversation, I'll pretend it hasn't been recorded yet. When I see Chris Robo this week, when I do Rotten Rantings, I'll see if he can get me in contact with that Chris Yolo. He's a mysterious guy. I'll see if he can come back on Monday.
Yeah. You know, he's young. He's busy. He's playing a lot of Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot going for him. Do you think he and SawFan666 will get along?
You know, I think so. I think that Chris Yolo would like the Saw movies, although maybe he would think that they were too old to like.
Probably.
That's possible. The first one came out 10 years ago, so maybe. But I think they could probably be pretty good friends. They probably like the same... Well, actually, they probably don't like the same music. Never mind.
I don't think so, yeah. Unless Saw fan really likes dub. I don't know.
Maybe they like the same, like, snacks and stuff. I think Yolo probably eats hot dogs.
See, I don't know. Maybe. What does... We didn't even ask him what kind of food he eats.
Yeah, we should have asked him. We'll have him back on. We'll talk about what kind of hot dogs he likes.
What do you eat when you only live once?
Probably hot dogs, I guess. That's been my motto my whole life.
You only live once, so eat some hot dogs?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's a nice email, though. I like it. I'm glad that the kids like Yolo. I got some emails about Yolo. People are talking about him. Katie Rod seemed to like it.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Although I talked to her when she was listening to it, and she said, oh, I'm like halfway through it. I really like it. So I don't know if she got to the end where we start making fun of how she likes only new movies and remakes and stuff. So maybe she didn't like it anymore after that. she hasn't talked to me, so maybe she doesn't like us anymore. Me or Yolo. But, you know, what are you going to do? She only likes new movies. It's funny. It's funny to me. It tickles me.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. I think, they'd probably get along. Or have they recorded with Yolo over there?
No, they have not. Although I would like them to very much.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah. I recently, talked Katie into doing a Hammer horror movie episode. So Yolo would be good for that. He would hate it so much.
Yeah, I'm not sure they would actually cover any new ground on that unless they both really like it, you know?
That would be funny. That would be a weird turn of events.
It'd be a shocking turn of events. It'd be almost as shocking as the shocking turn of event in a Hammer horror movie.
I'm going to be honest.
Although I like Christopher Lee in those. That dude was really fucking tall and intimidating.
That's true. I like him as Saruman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever... I've seen only one Hammer horror movie in my entire life, Mr. Frisbee.
Which one was it?
The Curse of Frankenstein, I think. Or The Son of Frankenstein, maybe. One of the two.
Yeah.
But I hated it so much that I vowed to never watch another Hammer horror movie.
Did you ever listen to the Kate Bush song, Hammer Horror?
I did not, no.
Or watch the video? The video is very, very sexy.
A sexual video.
Yeah. About horror movies.
Those are the kind I like the best.
Yeah, well, you'll have to dig this.
Is it sexual the way that the Anaconda video is sexual?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
That would be funny. If it was like Kate Bush just like, you know, bouncing her butt around on like
Dracula. On Drake.
Yeah. on Dracula.
Oh.
Get it?
Jeez.
That's what I think that I would like to go to Halloween next year as Dracula. Just be like a really sad Dracula.
You're like, yeah, man, I don't know if anybody did that this year, but we're a few weeks late.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to see if there's any Dracula.
While you're doing that, I would like to comment on the fact that I did not. Well, no, I don't want to comment on that. I've got nothing. Did you find it?
Yeah, there's a Dracula. If you search Dracula, the first thing that pops up is a picture of Drake's face photoshopped onto the body of a girl with big boobs. But after that, there's a couple of Draculas where it's a Drake Dracula.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And right here's a Dracula with Michael Myers, which is a twerking Miley Cyrus wearing a Michael Myers mask.
Is also like a Teddy Krueger. That's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, and a Spring Breaking Bad, which is like a girl with sneakers and a bikini, but it's Heisenberg's face. Who made these? Hannibala Dean, which is Hannibal. What?
The Abominable Snowden, like Andrew Snowden.
This guy made the worst fucking... I don't like any of this, what's going on here. Except for Dracula, that was a good one.
Yeah, it's Halloween costume ideas by Nate Seppis.
There's a sea pumpkin. Boy. That really... You know, this kind of stuff really sours me on making puns, you know? When you see this.
Well, yeah, I was going to suggest you find more stuff like this.
Yeah, maybe I'll post. I'll use one of these for the artwork this week, I guess. Oh, boy. Well, now I'm bummed out because those are not good.
Well,
Oh, let's talk about Cosby real quick. Did you follow the Cosby memes, Mr. This will cheer us up.
Yeah, I was going to say, to boost our spirits, let's talk about Cosby memes. I got in a little bit late to this, but I got the general gist where somebody's Cosby's PR, in an attempt to, preserve his image after this reevaluation of his, what do you want to call it, sexual assault in the past.
Mm-hmm.
His PR team was like, on Twitter, let's do some Cosby memes, guys. Because we all love Bill Cosby, right? And they were horribly wrong.
Yeah, and their example was a picture of Cosby that said, like, Happy Thursday or some, like, bland horse shit.
Was there any, like, I don't know. What did people end up making?
Oh, like a lot of good ones. It was already 4 days ago, so I barely remember. Let's see. Let me try to Google some. There was like, like one where he's like pointing and he says, "Oh, you're accusing me of rape? Let me go to the ATM over there." That's kind of funny. Because he likes to pay people off after he rapes them, you know?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
That's the gist of that joke. That's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, if you Google image Cosby memes, it's, none of the new ones pop up, I guess.
No, it's all those traditional memes, the classic memes, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It seems like a bad move for them to be like, hey, let's think about all the good things that Cosby's done so recently after, you know, him getting called out.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. He's listening to headphones, and then it says, now I can't hear you say no.
Oh, cheesy dudes.
You know, just a lot of jokes like that. Oh, one that says it's not rape if you're famous. That's funny. That's an astute observation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, although I do think that, people are right to call this guy out for doing bad things in the world, but, yeah. Everybody loved him 3 weeks ago before Hannibal Buress mentioned it. So I don't know. It is like this thing where, man, people are, they'll just do whatever a different famous person tells. I think it goes to show you, people will do whatever a famous person tells them to do. If a famous person tells you to have sex, you'll do it. If a famous person tells you that you hate Bill Cosby now, then you'll do that too. Because nobody cared about this before Hannibal Buress's bit got put on TMZ.
That's funny that you're saying that Hannibal Buress is famous, though. Like, he's a guy who shows up on a late-night Adult Swim show and a not very popular Comedy Central show.
Well, I think he's... Let's see how many Twitter followers he's got. I think he's famous. I don't know. I listen to his two comedy albums like once a week or something. So he's famous to me.
That's cool. His stuff is great. I love him. I just didn't think he was that famous.
He's got 311,000 Twitter followers. Is that famous enough?
I don't think it's as famous as Alex from Target.
Let's see how many Alex from Target. I don't even know. I didn't follow that shit at all. I don't even know what's going on with him.
It was this kid from a Target that a kid, like a teenager, had sneaked a photo of him, posted on a Tumblr that got posted to Twitter. And then a PR company tried to take responsibility for it, saying, we got all of you. That's how good we are as a PR company. We made this kid viral for Target. Then Target and Alex were like, we don't know who this company is. we never talked to them. We never signed off any contract with them. And the company's like, we'll be back working on the drawing board because we did not do anything like that.
Well, you're right. He has 737,000 followers. So, A, American fame is as confusing as ever. And B, I don't want to live on this planet anymore because I make some pretty funny tweets, I think, way better than Alex from Targets. All he's posting. Let's see one of his tweets. He says, looking forward to serving in this Saturday's charity event. All right, who gives a shit, Alex? You got 1 million followers for that. Just posted a new selfie. Check it out. Man, I hate being alive, you know?
It's the worst. I'm telling you. Like, one thing we don't discuss enough on this show is the sheer awfulness of being alive. And I think this kind of goes in hand with it. Like, I know what you're saying when you say you don't understand. Well, that you didn't say you don't understand. You said that you find American popularity more confusing than ever. But it's still the same. It's like we worship youth. We don't worship youth, but we idolize youth and attractiveness until they do something that we don't like. And also any sort of celebrity. We like put celebrity on a pedestal, obviously. I mean, it wouldn't be celebrity otherwise. We'll put celebrities up to a standard that we don't really hold for people in our immediate circle of friends, or to like authority figures, you know, like politicians, cops, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we have this, I don't know, America's just, it's weird about celebrity. It always will be, I think.
Yeah. I think we have some weird void because like we never had kings and queens here. So like, we're just looking for anybody to be famous, you know, rather than, yeah, like God's chosen people. I think that's what it is. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more going into it, but that's the simplified version. But here's some more tweets from young Alex. It's a great day. Got 1,500 retweets. I want the Xbox One so I can start playing COD again. Probably got a good headshot ratio, this motherfucker.
I bet his headshot ratio is off the chains. I wonder what YOLO thinks of that.
He's probably excited. Yeah, so this is horseshit. You know, you work hard, you come up with puns. Yesterday I came up with a great joke, Mr. Frisbee. I, personally, don't like riding around with my brother in his new Trans Am. because I'm afraid he'll go too fast. I guess you can say I'm transphobic. That's a great joke. I got like one fave on it. This motherfucker, he's talking about it's a great day, getting 800,000 faves.
You know, if I may critique, your problem with that joke, and I liked it, is that that's a joke that you would tell somebody. On Twitter, it should have just ended with, I'm scared to drive as Trans Am, hashtag transphobic. I mean, this is kind of like coffee dad stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That guy knows how to use a hashtag.
On Twitter, it is best to just hashtag the punchline of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was a real Jay Leno, though. I just wanted to say the punchline, you know, in a sense.
A real David Angelo.
Yep.
This
guy. Trying to. That's the bar. That's where the bar is in comedy, I feel.
Oh, dear. But yeah, these are our obsessions. And this is the state of America. Not even America. I think this might be a worldwide thing. Like, we just have this obsession with stuff that doesn't really need to be obsessed over. You know, it's not science or anything like that. This is all bleeds into what the awfulness of being alive is about.
Yeah. This is really the main part of the awfulness of being alive, is finding out that old Dickface McGee from Target has more fame than Hannibal Buress, the funniest person on Earth. Second funniest person on Earth.
Next to who?
David Angelo.
Oh.
If you don't believe me, let me find a great David Angelo tweet.
That's okay. I'll just believe you.
No, he's very funny. Let me find
it. It's all right.
No, nope, he's good. You know he's good.
Move on.
I don't even understand this. Saw Interstellar, really challenged and changed my entire perception on how long I could hold in pee. That's funny, because it's 3 hours long.
Oh, I see.
Nah, that's
a long movie joke.
He's got to hold in pee that whole time. You see, the joke there is that he's saying it challenged his perceptions, and then you're automatically going to assume, you know, about, like, space or whatever. But nope, just pee. It's a pee joke. That's funny.
Pee jokes.
That's funny. Pee jokes.
Pee joke.
That's very good. He's very funny.
I saw Tim Heidecker when I was in Los Angeles, and he did a song titled Hot Piss. It was all about drinking pee.
Well, how did you like that?
It's okay. Pretty good.
I don't like those Tim and Eric's. I'm going to be honest with you.
Do you like his music?
I have not heard the music.
You might like this then. If you don't like Tim and Eric, that's one thing. His music is a different thing altogether.
I'll try that out.
Yeah. I had a weird run-in this week that I wanted to bring up. There was a movie going on last night. It was a free film, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And promotion for it also mentioned that there would be this taco truck that would be coming by with, like, hot chocolate and tacos and burritos. It sounded like a really interesting thing. And the movie wasn't starting until, like, 7. Taco truck will be there at 5, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to this place. It's a very nice theater. I pull the door assuming that it'll be open. It's like 5:30 at this point. I don't see a taco truck anywhere, by the way. And the lady comes up. She's like, she looks at me and looks immediately kind of upset. And she just says, movie starts at 7, doors don't open until 6:15. And I go, okay, I understand that. But isn't there a taco truck that's supposed to be here at like 5? She's like, yeah, they should be here in either of these two alleyways over here. The alleyways aren't really alleyways. They're like, I don't know. It's like Disneyland alleyways. Like, they're just very well decorated and well lit and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, all right, fine. I didn't get what the aggression was. Or not the aggression, but the callousness. So I look over on either alleyway, nothing's there. I'm like, okay, it's 5:30. So obviously this taco truck's not coming. It's like 22 degrees out in Arkansas last night. So I'm like, I can't really get warm anywhere. This is all kind of a fucked thing. So I'm probably going to leave. And I didn't know. I was still like mulling over what was that encounter about. And I think this was the same person that I ran into passively a couple months ago. I found this friend at this pizza joint here, and he was at a table with a bunch of people. And I run into him as we're both at the same spot with different parties. I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on, man? I talk to him, and he's like, oh, are you here for this movie thing they're doing tonight? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so you're giving the movie scene another shot? Because I used to be pissed at the movie scene, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm talking to him about it and say, like, and I go on this rant about how bad this one theater, the one I was trying to go to last night, was. Like, yeah, but they're still fucking things up. Like, they don't promote anything. There's nothing on their Facebook. They don't know how to do a web page, apparently. There's no calendar. They just announce things day of, and it sucks terribly. And this person gets up offended and leaves. And I'm like, is everything did your friend just leave? And he's like, oh, yeah, she works at the theater you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, well, good. I was very, very adamant in my rage. I think that was the same person. I think she remembered me as being a dick a couple months ago. And that's why she wasn't happy to see me, like, trying to get in.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, why wouldn't she just go, oh, yeah, we try hard. Or something, like, why'd you just get up and leave? Like, why take it so personal? People take things too personally these days.
I guess I think that's probably it. Just took it too personally. And I don't think she was even at fault. Like, I don't know who this person is. I'm just saying that this theater was not run very well. If she was responsible for it, then yeah, I guess. But also being part of something that you want to make sure happens really well, I can understand that being kind of a put down too.
Yeah.
And still, I was just... The thing is, though, that theater, I mean, it did kind of stink. And what happened was they ended up shutting down for a few months, and people inquired, like, hey, what's the deal with this theater? And the response they got was like, oh, yeah, it was really hard to do promotions for it. It wasn't hard. They just didn't do it. And they recognized some of the shortcomings, and it seemed like they were on hiatus for a while until they could get some people who could run shit. And she's still there, so obviously she knows what she's doing. And Donors, yeah, I don't know. She'll forever see me as this asshole, which is fine. I get that, you know.
Well, she's the asshole. She's the one who said she was going to play Invasion of the Body Snatchers and played the wrong one.
That's the wrong theater. This is a different one. Oh. There's a lot of...
Man, there's a lot of bad theater.
Theaters. Yeah.
Well, never mind. Well, don't go see any more movies.
I think that's what I plan on doing. Netflix has a ton of good movies up. I can just sit at home and watch movies, dog. That's what I might do from here on out.
You know a movie you should watch, Mr. Frisbee, real quick. We're at the 57-minute mark. We got to go in about 3 minutes, but you know what movie you should see?
What?
The Guest, directed by Adam Wingard, director of Your Next.
Yeah?
You should see his new movie called The Guest.
Are you being facetious?
No, I saw it last night. I liked it.
What'd you like about it?
Most of it. It had kind of a shitty ending, but up until that, it was like real laid back, had a cool soundtrack, kind of a cool... like laid back, slow burn, sort of Terminator-y. You know, everybody keeps comparing it to Terminator and John Carpenter. So I think a lot of times when that happens, it's just people parodying other people. But it is very Terminator-y and very John Carpenter-y, especially in the soundtrack area. It's got a cool 80s soundtrack. Very good. Very tense movie. Not scary. Very tense. Action-y. Good. I still think You're Next and his other movie, Horrible... Way to Die, suck, but this movie's sweet, and you should check it out, Mr. Frisbee. That's my recommendation to you.
All right, I'll check that out tomorrow then.
Nice.
Probably along with Nightcrawler. Are you still going to see Nightcrawler?
Oh, yeah, I think I might see that Tuesday. I'm debating whether to see Nightcrawler or Interstellar still, but Interstellar's 3 hours long, and I'll probably have to hold in a lot of pee, so I think I'll just see Nightcrawler instead.
I heard that's also a long movie. Am I wrong in that? Is it like 2.5 hours?
I think it's 2 hours.
2 hours? That's doable. You can hold in pee for that long, surely.
Surely I can, yeah. And surely. I hear that Nightcrawler's better than Interstellar anyway, because everybody seems to hate Interstellar, so.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess that goes to show you the more scientifically accurate something is, America's going to hate it.
I hear that it's scientifically inaccurate, and that's why everybody hates it. Isn't that what Neil deGrasse Tyson said? Didn't he say it's pretty bullocks, as they would say? didn't
he? No, he actually agreed with a lot of it. The one gripe he seemed to have was that people travel across vast distances of space and they end up getting a fist fight on the planet. Like, he didn't agree with the dramatic climax of the film.
Oh, well, that's got nothing to do with science.
Nah, it's just Hollywood. Well, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that we all need to realize. It's just Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's just a dream, you know?
Yeah, but if you die in your dream, you die in real life. Just like when you, if you die while you're seeing a movie, you die in real life. I don't know if you knew that, Frisbee.
Yeah, that's what happened with me in Phantasm. I died while watching it, because if I didn't die when watching it, then it might not be the scariest film ever. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? It was a dream the entire time, right? I didn't catch that the first time.
Yeah, it was a dream.
Okay. And Internal Affairs was in it the whole time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It turns out at the end of Phantasm, Mark Wahlberg, he was like kind of in on it the whole time.
Yeah.
He kind of knew.
Right.
And then that's why he shoots the tall man in the face. So, you know, it's a pretty good movie. Pretty good movie, I think.
Okay.
But now we're at the hour mark, Mr. Frisbee. That means we got to go.
Yeah. But people should tune in next week, because we're going to be doing Saved by the Bell, The College Years.
Oh, man, it's going to be so exciting.
Which I've been watching, and mini spoiler alert, I kind of like this.
Hey, nice. I watched them all when they came out, and I haven't started watching them yet for the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, we have to create a bridge between high school and college years because the results are really interesting. And yeah, that'll be next week. Do we have a guest for that, or are we planning on something? We'll probably have a guest, right?
Yeah, we got Jordan from Olympic Artichoke.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, we do. That's going to be awesome.
He's making this whole thing happen. He's the one who sent us these episodes to watch, so he's truly... truly kind and generous, as they say.
He's our patron saint of Morris. He's our patron saint of Bayside, I mean.
Yeah. So we'll actually probably be giving thanks to him, since it'll be Thanksgiving at that point.
For sure. That'll be our Thanksgiving episode. There is a Thanksgiving episode in our Thanksgiving episode that we get to talk about. Did you know that? Did you plan that out?
No, I didn't know that.
The 10th episode is Thanksgiving.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. We did it.
It'll culminate. Excellent.
We did it.
All right, everybody. Great news.
And you can find all our other Saved by the Bell episodes and old episodes at poolpartyradio.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. That's probably how you're listening to us now. You can leave us reviews on iTunes. We still read those, though we have our differences with iTunes. We still like those reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And... oh, why not on Stitcher, too? I'm sure there's a way to review us there. We like that also. Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Leave us likes there. And keep up to date with any news that we might have, like reasons why our episodes are late, which are usually every Monday. But sometimes we gotta take some naps.
Yeah,
we got other shit to do. We're grown men, for Christ's sake.
Sometimes we're watching WWF Unforgiven from 1998. You know, we can't be bothered to post things.
Yeah, or sometimes I'm watching the non-Mystery Science Theater 3000 version of Space Mutiny online. Well, deal with it.
Yeah.
And you can also find us on Twitter at Final Parker and at Cumulus Frisbee.
And
at Pool Party Radio.
And on Letterboxd.
And on Letterboxd, which is Letterboxd, that's no second E, correct?
Yeah, there's no E at the end for some reason.
No third E, yeah. Letterboxd.com/poolpartyradio.
We're not on there, but it's Ultimate Parker and then also Frisbee something something. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I blew it so bad.
It's all right. It's habit.
Yeah. I don't know what mine is. Did you just say it?
No. I will figure it out. We'll find it.
Okay.
And then send us emails, poolpartyradio@gmail.com, if you didn't mention that. And also Jay from Entertainment Tonight. I heard that you snitched. You talked. You told everybody I touched your pee-pee. I told you not to. So we're coming for you. We're coming for you big time, man.
Yeah, I don't agree with any of this, but I have to back up Parker on this sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, Frisbee's with me, man. You don't go around telling people when somebody touched your pee-pee and then they told you not to. You just ask Cosby. I don't have the kind of money Cosby does. I can't pay you off.
So was it consensual? It doesn't sound like it was consensual.
It was not.
Oh, dear God. You'll have to get some other people involved then.
No, you already said you're with me on this.
And I'll regret it forever. Mm-hmm. Like so many other things in life.
You've already pledged to help me out in this situation. You're a good friend.
Yeah, we touched fists and held them there for an uncomfortable long time, like the Shield used to do.
Yep.
And, yep. All right. Well, okay. I'm not going to like it, though.
All right, that's fine. This is not the kind of thing that you like. It's just the kind of thing you're compelled to do by the goodness in your heart. That's why I do it. That's why I touch pee-pees. Out of the goodness of my... I don't even touch pee-pees. I should probably start denying this. My lawyer's here, Kepi. He says I should deny this. So I didn't even touch
any... Is that Kepi in the background? Okay.
That's him. I didn't touch any pee-pees. Jay from Entertainment Weekly. Tonight. However. Monthly. Yearly. Put out a podcast already. All right. Anyway, so this is Parker Ford, my lawyer, Kepi. And Cumulus. Saying thanks for having fun.
Trash, falling angel of the underclass. Teenage driver with a perfect ass. Yeah, she moved in fast on me. When we first met, she was puffing on a cigarette. That demented junkyard Juliet with Tourette's of my dreams. The bleached blonde hair and missing teeth. Can I hide what's underneath? That nymphomanic stole my heart. The scent of bunions on her breath. When she was all spun out on meth, I knew she'd be the death of me. Yeah, she blows. Sucked a golf ball through a garden hose. Two legs bragging how they never close in a gutter rosary. On her just like the glue. She's been humping since the age of two. Now my lonely nights were through. Then that tornado ripped through town. Turned the whole world upside down. She vanished in a flash. With my credit cards and stash. Now I'm left here with this rash. Yeah.